Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. Joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, the real J Mac. Ladies and gentlemen, and we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, recognizing that of the human institutions that God established, those institutions being civil government, Romans 13 bears that out, that it is established by God. The New Testament church, the household of faith, the family of God, also obviously established by God. And the first of these institutions was the family, with marriage at the center. It is vitally, vitally important that we recognize that and order our lives accordingly. We will never be able to out-politic, to out-vote, even to out-church deficiencies that abound in the home. I had a question one time presented to me from a pastor at a conference, and he was asking me about education, and I just simply came down to it. I said, the majority of the circumstances, and the overwhelming majority of parents, almost all parents, it's a rarity when parents don't love or care for their children, but we live in a system where things operate a certain way. And if we don't examine what we do in light of Romans 12, then we could find ourselves working against ourselves. And so the pastor was asking me about whether or not I thought it was important to address the necessity of discipling the children from the home, from the pulpit. And I said, yeah, very simply. I said, in your upbringing, where did you learn most of the things that were counterproductive, I'll say it that way, in your life? You know, did you learn it at home? And you know, he said, no, similar to me. My parents weren't teaching me the insanity that Peanut and Pluck and Nutty were teaching. That's where a lot of chicanery came from. I said, and sometimes if we're not willing to be, you know, to stand firmly on what God teaches, we can find ourselves working against ourselves. Oftentimes, especially when we're talking about endeavoring to disciple young people, we find ourselves trying to work out of them things that they've learned in the places where we send them and tell them to learn. Of course, we're not telling them to learn antisocial and regressive behaviors, but the scriptures are true. Those who walk with the wise shall become wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. A lot of the things we're trying to unlearn is the byproduct of people being discipled well, especially children being discipled well in the places where the adults send them and tell them to go. How long? And I know it's a phrase, it's a statement that Vodi Bakum coined. How can we continue to send our children to Caesar for discipleship, yet wax surprised when they come home as Romans? It's so well put. It's so well put. The deficiencies that abound in our nations, they don't start in the streets. They start at home, either by affirmative presentation or often by negligence. As you've heard me say, darkness is not an affirmative force, but it reoccupies the space that is vacated by the light. You talk to any gangbanger, what do most gangbangers say? Man, the gang is my what? My family. People often look to gangs to get what they don't get at home. I can go on and on and on and on with this. But at some point, we have to realize the word of God is not only true, it's comprehensively true. To the word of God we go. Galatians chapter 1. Paul's epistle to the church at Galatia. The background here, this is an earlier epistle from the Apostle Paul, about the late 40s AD. All right. And the Apostle Paul addressed the believers in Galatia following a circuit, if you will, by Judaizers. But I'm going to focus on one aspect of the introductory portion of this epistle today. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17 is where I'm going to go. And I pray that the wisdom of God's word will strengthen us all today. And this is what the Lord's word says. For I am I now, this is Paul writing, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions, or the traditions of my father. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Now, what am I pointing out here? The Apostle Paul is sharing here how his commitment to Christ does not afford him to be a man pleaser. In another portion of Scripture, the Word of God says, the fear of man brings a snare. In this portion of his epistle to the Galatians, Paul is explaining, is my apostolic commitment to proclaiming the gospel and being an emissary for Christ all across the existing world at the time, is that because I'm trying to seek the favor of men? Or am I doing this because God has convicted me, has called me, consecrated, and sent me? Am I doing this for men, or am I doing this for God? And then Paul just started laying out, look, this is the Abe Standard Version. Paul said, man, look, keep it a buck. Check my resume. If I was still trying to please men, I wouldn't have went against my ancestral traditions. I would have you to know, brethren, what I am proclaiming to you is revelation of God. If I was trying to please men, I would not have abandoned my ancestral traditions. I wouldn't have gone against what I was taught as a rabbinical Pharisee. I would not. If I'm man-pleasing, I never would have made an adjustment from that. Then conversely, on the other side, now that I'm a Christ follower, and I'd like to remind people that the Apostle Paul continued to be a Pharisee. He never rescinded the fact that he was a Pharisee. He was a messianic, Jewish believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. He says then, and when I became a Christ follower, and the Lord helped me to see that I'm to preach his gospel to the Gentiles, I didn't then consult with flesh and blood. That's in verse 16. Verse 17, he says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Because the fulcrum of Christianity when Paul became a Christ follower was Jerusalem. Paul said, I didn't go to seek an audience with them either. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Some of you may recall that it was Barnabas who ended up having to appeal to believers to say, listen, Paul is not the old Rabbi Shaul who is attempting to, as he says, destroy the church. He's been converted. But the point that Paul is making in this portion of his epistle is that, man, as a Christ follower, I'm not trying to please men. And this appeal had particular resonance with the Gentile believers in Galatia, because what was happening is that they were being tempted to perform works of the Jewish law to prove to other Jews that they were accepted and approved by God, almost to earn their justification. So the context of this passage gives us clarity as to what Paul is saying is that, listen, man-pleasing and Christ-following are mutually exclusive. We have enjoyed, and we continue to enjoy to date in the United States of America, an aberration in the history of the Lord's church, relatively speaking. You know, prior to, you know, the acts of toleration and things under Constantine, the church was always persecuted. You had an abatement of that persecution as it kind of became conflated with Roman imperialism. But as the church kind of reestablished its footing as being countercultural, the persecution would continue. And as I'm talking to you right now, Christ following is being persecuted physically and overtly in other parts of the world. But I never forget, Elder Ed used to sing a song in the church that I grew up in. Whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe? That we have to mature to the place as Christ followers to where our commitment to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and our willingness to stand in truth and therefore stand for truth, it moves beyond the fickle notions of, well, what do the people think around me? We cannot be man pleasers and serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As Paul said, if I am seeking the favor of men, oh no, verse 10, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Because Christ following is the way of the narrow road. Christ following is not the way of the broad road. That's why the phenomenon of so-called broad road believers is a conundrum. The scripture says, you should be careful when all men speak well of you. And the additional consideration is that we don't seek to merely be opposite for the sake of being opposite, but we're clinging to truth. Thy word have I hid in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. Wherein may a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. We're not trying to just be just opposite and to be antagonists and just to oppose things for the sake of being opposing. Man, we have been captured. We've been captured. And as a result of that, we don't bend based on how the tide turns. Holiness is still right. Modesty is still right. Because God is still right. I'm not endeavoring to cling to the truth of God's word because I'm hankering for the good old days. No, actually, I'm hankering for what my future holds for me. Actually, I yearn to be in the tangible, fully revealed presence of my Lord. And in the meantime, until that appointed time is made available to me, I'm endeavoring to occupy until he returns, to be salt and light until he returns, because he has commanded me to do so. But I'm not hankering for some good old days. It happens. It just so happens to be true that if we live according to what God instructs us, life and circumstances are better. Look, this is not rocket surgery. I don't have to study 50 different sociological theses to know that the best environment for a child to be reared, nurtured, and trained and prepared for life is in an environment where a father and mother who are married to each other rear that child together. I don't have to be a sociologist to know that. Just like I don't have to be a biologist to know what a woman is. We cannot be Christ followers and man pleasers at the same time. We don't seek to be obtuse. We don't seek to just be, you know, antagonistic for the sake of being antagonistic. But I'll tell you, and I say this often, I ain't looking for a fight, but I ain't backing down from none either. And I'm not talking about a fleshly humanistic fight, but if you take aim at the truth of God's word, I am duty bound to stand.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
My encouragement and challenge to every single listener is that you pray and ask the Lord the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, that's the prayer that Paul prayed right after he received Christ and put his faith in the Lord on the road to Damascus. He asked the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And as it relates to following and serving the Lord, that's a wise question to pray actually every single day. It's a good prayer and a question to ask the Lord every day. Lord, what do you want me to do? And as it relates to being involved in this important cause of standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion, the question and prayer is a wise one to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? There are many that God would have them to become faithful intercessors who pray every day. Lots of spiritual warfare happens around every pregnancy clinic, and lots of spiritual warfare happens around abortion clinics as well.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Popular, I should say it this way, best-selling author. Let me give you all of his things. Best-selling author of 8 books, journalist from Canada, public speaker, host of the podcast titled Revisionist History. Oh, that's rich. recipient of the appointment to the Order of Canada, which is, I had to look this up, the second highest honor for merit in the system of orders, decorations, and medals in Canada, because he's Canadian nationality. None other than Malcolm Gladwell. I should have mentioned he's also a columnist for the New Yorker. That's one of those posh publications, the New Yorker. Well, he went on a record recently, and this, you want to talk about not being a man pleaser. Malcolm Gladwell, who I'm calling unaffectionately Malcolm Sadwell, is 62 years old. And I'll tell you why I'm calling him Malcolm Sadwell. Is one of the blessings when I first did an internship in ministry at my home church in New Orleans, my pastor assigned me to the elderly. I've explained this before, and the Lord has given me a love in my heart for our more seasoned saints. I know modern civilization, and even in many ways the modern church in our country has an inappropriate disdain for seasoned saints. It is God's desire for his kingdom and his body in particular to be comprised of a multi-generational array of Christ followers, to where there's reciprocal benefit from the younger believers in relationship with the older believers and older believers in relationship with the younger believers. That is God's desire. And so I have a great appreciation for seasoned saints and being able to seek wisdom from my elder brothers on various issues as they've seen lots of things. I often reflect on Polycarp's statement when he was being called upon to renounce Christ in favor of worshiping Caesar. And they were like, no, worry. We don't want you to just abandon Jesus. We just want you to worship Caesar as God along with your gods. We don't have any problem with, polytheistic orientations in the Roman panoply. And Polycarp responded, according to church history, I have been young and now I'm old, and Christ has done nothing to offend me. How then can I offend him at this late stage of my life? Oh, man. That moves me every time I read it. So now you have this 62-year-old man, and I'll just let you hear for yourself what he said, but he is a celebrated figure within the halls of regressivism in Western civilization. I mean, this is a person who many of these regressives view as an ideological and intellectual high mark. They listen to this fool. And I don't mean fool as an insult. I mean it in the biblical sense. A lot of people listen to this fool. And so he was on a podcast recently where he had to admit publicly. He's like, yeah, in 2022, I was on this panel at this conference. It was called the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. And the topic as to whether or not boys and men should be allowed to participate in women's sports. And y'all know the drill, how they call it. They say, well, trans women should be allowed to participate with women. It's like, man, just keep it real. You're talking about men. You're talking about dudes. You're talking about Will Thomas, man. Stop the presses. Juana Man was a movie that was supposed to be a fictional story. Now y'all done made it real life. This is absurd. This is absurd on its face. Yet, in 2022, Malcolm Gladwell, you know, he donned his official sounding voice and yes, and waxed eloquent and said, decrying all of the bigots and all of these things. And now, and I left out the best part. He said, you know, he was being dishonest, you see, in 2022. He knew that wasn't, he didn't believe that. But, you know, he went along with it. He said he was cowed. He was cowed, you know. That's a gray poop horn, pinky extended kind of way to say. He got pumped. He was scared to say, no, and I don't believe that boys should be allowed to participate in girls' sports. No, I don't believe men should be able to participate in women's sports. He wouldn't say it. Why? Well, he said he was cowed. I'll let you hear for yourself what he said. Then I'm going to come back to it. This is Malcolm Gladwell, who I'm calling Malcolm Sadwell, explaining that he's disappointed in himself because he was dishonest in 2022. Listen to and watch. Clip four, go.
There's many interesting things to say about that conversation. One was that it was a particular moment which has passed. If we did a replay of that exact panel at the Sloan Conference this coming March, it runs in exactly the opposite direction. And it would be, I suspect, near unanimity in the room that trans athletes have no place in the female category. I don't think there's any question. I just think it was a strange, the reason I'm ashamed of my performance at that panel because I share your position 100% and I was cowed. The idea of saying anything on this issue, I was, in dishonest way, I was objective in a dishonest way. I let a lot of really, of howlers pass.
I was objective in it. I was objecting in a dishonest way. I was cowed. Now, look, if you're watching the show, those who are listening, you can't see the video. But if you're watching the show, over his right shoulder, our left, on your left, he has a picture of Mao Zedong. Mao, Chairman Mao from the Chinese Communist Revolution. Over his right shoulder as he's, yes, I was dishonest. I was dishonest in my opinion. If you have the exact same panel today, it would be the a complete opposite direction. All right. Y'all ready for the translation of this?
Cole?
Yeah.
You stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure is. Not only stupid, you're a coward. You're a simple coward. You see, Mr. Malcolm Sadwell was unwilling to say what he really believed. And that is, I mean, because one of the things that happens when you lie, the question has to be asked, were you lying then or are you lying now? Because you're telling me you were lying then. But here's the rub. You say you were cowed then because in your circles that you the prevailing notion is, you had to have this opinion to walk the line. But then in his comments now, he says, if I was at that same panel, I suspect my comments would run exactly in the opposite direction, and it would be near unanimity in the room that trans athletes have no place in the female category. I don't think there's any question. So now you're saying, now that you recognize there'll be unanimity in what you would say now, that's what you would say now. So because the crowd would agree with you if you say that, no, boys and men don't belong in women and girls sports, and because that would be the embrace view now, you'll be willing to say that now publicly. You know, because that would be the unanimous position in the room at the conference. Man, come on, man. Come on, man. And this is, you know, you want to talk about man-pleasing. So this dude's basically saying, you know, my opinion is up for sale to, you know, to whatever the most popular notion is at the time. That's what it, he may not intend to say that, but that is in effect what he's saying. I don't even think he recognizes that he's saying that the perspective I'm offering now, objecting to so-called trans women, biological males, oxymoron, males. Now he's saying his opinion would be embraced if he saw what he really, really believed. Guys, when you just tell the truth, you don't have to figure out, you know, let me see, which way is the wind blowing? Which opinion will I have today? Let's see. Because basically what he's saying is he wasn't willing to lose his gig at the New Yorker, you know. He wasn't willing to risk his social currency. This is why, what's the lady who authored Harry Potter? Forgot her name. In England. You're looking it up for me. She's been willing. She's not a believer, but she's saying, listen, women are women. Men can't wake up one day and determine that they're women. And she's been basically, you know, kicked. That's right. J.K. Rowling is her name. She's basically been excluded from the cool kids table because of her willingness to say that. And this is why I continue to encourage the believer, man, you have to draw your line in the sand. The scripture says to train oneself for godliness. This dude is so lame to me, Malcolm Gladwell's Malcolm Sadwell, because this is the thing. You ain't 22 years old, Chief. You 62 years old. 62 years old saying, oh, I was cowed. You already got all the money in the world, at least all the money that you need. And you're in your 60s. At that time, 59, 58. Talking about you're cowed for simply stating a biological fact. He twisted himself into a pretzel. I don't follow this dude, no way. And I know probably many of you listening to me don't follow this dude. But as I said earlier, there are lots of folks that listen to this guy. You know, even though his hair might look like he stuck his finger in an electric socket, let's put that aside. You know, electronic funk to be dismissed at the moment.
Just like Mr. Sulu.
And so there are people who listen to him and people who shared that position, and they've gone along. How many people were persuaded into repeating and regurgitating the lie, trans women are women, because they heard this fool? And now he's saying, well, you know, I was just lying through my teeth back then. I only said what I said because, you know, I was bullied into that position because I read the room, and all of the people in my room were saying that you got to have this opinion, and if you don't have this opinion, you'll get kicked off the cool kids table. What kind of grown man is that? Like, you want to talk about a dearth in masculinity? What is that? You know, I'm from the school where you had men who were men. They might not have all your degrees, but they would say things like this: if I give you my word is my bond. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. If I tell you I'm going to be there at 9:15, I will be there at 9:15. And these are also the same men who would say, if you tell me you will be somewhere, I treat your word as if it's your bond. But to have this mamby-pamby squishy, oh, I was cowed. I was just intimidated by those in my room who would, you know, revoke my access, my regressive access card, if I dare state what I truly believe. How can anyone take this man seriously going forward? Because based on what your public track record, based on your public track record, you'll say whatever you think is popular. You'll say whatever maintains you access at the cool kids table. You want to, and then the thing that blow, his podcast is called Revisionist History. Boy, you are living revisionist history. You're a living revisionist history. But that type of approach is acceptable amongst progressives because for them, the ends justify the means. Who cares about integrity as long as your objective is accomplished? And so he may be trying to save face and, you know, preserve, but you read the room. Now it's become somewhat popular because you have some people who are willing to take the slings and arrows and say, nah, y'all saying this is the emperor. He got the fashion. He have fine designer robes on, but this dude is naked. This emperor has no clothes. So you have to be extra special to see it. Nah, I hear what you're saying, but that dude up there, stark raving naked. And I don't care what y'all say. There's no amount of money that'll get me to change this. And this is, man, this should be 101 for the believer. Truth isn't determined by consensus. No. Truth isn't determined by a poll. In fact, truth is determined by the truth determiner. It is our distinct privilege to discover truth. We don't determine what is true. We discover what is truth. The creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, determines what is true. Years ago, when I first got on the air, and it's amazing, man, it's almost 10 years I've been on this program. Isn't that something? But something I said soon after coming on the air is that we have to be liberated from this idolatry of the so-called expert. You may be wonderful in your profession. You know, Friday we did the program. Tom Brady's a great NFL quarterback, but I'm not taking family and marriage advice from Tom Brady. No shade to him. I think he's a tremendous athlete. He's had tremendous accomplishments. You know, congratulations on your accomplishments. But I'm not listening to Tom Brady to tell me how to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Tom Brady can't tell me nothing about that. So what I'm driving at, guys, this Malcolm Sadwell is the latest example of this. How many more of these people, they write and speak and say things, they don't believe them at all. They don't believe them at all. They're just going along to get along. And they are the influencers. And they're shaping culture because they're getting paid. So they'll do and say whatever it takes so they keep that gravy train running and keep their position within the regressive echelon of society. I ain't studying these folks. Listen, I don't care if you don't have one degree by your name. If you have the holy word of God and you are indwelled by the Spirit of God, you have all that you need to be who God calls you to be. Now, God can add to that to add additional qualifications and abilities to you, but don't you for one second tuck your Bible in because somebody's approaching you and they have PhD, element of P, MD, MDiv, got a shiv, I might live behind their names. Stand fast on the word of God and let God be your vindicator.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at AFR.net.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Trans murder. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Recently at Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis, a young man who was so confused that he falsely believed he was a woman took multiple firearms to the school and sadly killed two children and injured 17 others before killing himself. While the media blamed guns, the reality is that this young man's confusion about his gender, use of marijuana, and focus on satanic darkness were the contributing factors. The answer is not affirmation, but proclamation of God's truth in the gospel. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Hear our most recent program on this topic at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Some of you guys probably saw this story. It was over the weekend, there was a Hyundai LG battery plant in Ellabelle, Georgia. Ellabelle is about 23 miles west of Savannah, Georgia. So for those who may not be aware, Hyundai, some of you go to Hyundai. It's a South Korean corporation. Yes, quite large. Huge South Korean corporation. They make cars, and here is producing car batteries with LG. And a little birdie let Tom Homan and them know. Hey, yo, Tom. And they might have said it like this. Hey, yo, Tom. There's some illegals over there in Ellabelle, Georgia.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste.
So Immigration and Customs Enforcement conducted an operation at the Hyundai plant only to discover 475 illegal aliens operating in this plant.
Christmas Day.
475. They were detained by ICE. Now, South Korea is a nation that we obviously have diplomatic, warm and friendly diplomatic relations with. But I'm sharing this story with you for several reasons. One, to show that though we have a large percentage of illegal aliens who have entered the country through our southern border and who are of Mexican ancestry, it's not exclusively Mexican or even Hispanic ancestry. Here, you have, I'm sure this is all a coincidence, Bobby and Jeff. This is just a coincidence, I'm sure, that you have 475 South Korean illegal aliens working in a South Korean corporation in America. I'm sure that's all coincidental. But some of you may be surprised at President Trump's response to this. We don't have the video for this one. Okay, listen to President Trump's response to this raid at this Hyundai plant in Ellabelle, Georgia. Clip number three. Clip three, go.
Give us your reaction to South Korea's regrets, or calling it regrettable, what happened with their workers at the Hyundai plant.
Well, I'll speak to them. You know, look, it's a battery factory in that case, as I'm told. And, you know, when they're building batteries, if you don't have people in this country right now that know about batteries, maybe we should help them along and let some people come in and train our people to do, you know, complex things, whether it's battery manufacturing or computer manufacturing or building ships. So we're going to look at that whole situation. We have a lot of industries that we don't have anymore, and we're going to have to train people. And the way you train people is bring people in that know what they're doing and let them stay for a little while and help. So I'm going to look at that. It's a very interesting situation that took place in Georgia. And we heard about it yesterday. At the same time, ICE was doing right because they were here illegally. But we do have to work something out where we bring in experts so that our people can be trained so that they can do it themselves. Does that make sense? Right?
Is it straining the relationship with Korea at
all? No, we have a great relationship with South Korea. Really good relationship. You know, we just made a trade deal. But I'm going to look at it because I understand exactly what that's.
Isn't that interesting? So I know some people are trying to say, oh, these people are not from Korea. Pump your brakes a little bit. The Republic of Korea president, that's South Korea, Lee Jae-myung, has confirmed that, y'all got our people over there. We as soon as the administrative process is done, we are chartering a plane to bring them all back to South Korea. It's funny how the lying media tries, oh, they're not illegal aliens. Yeah. So why is the South Korean president saying, about that, we're going to send a plane over to pick them up and we're going to get them. So President Trump is saying, so we don't have people who can make the batteries. Is that what you're saying, Mr. President? We don't have folks who know how to make batteries who can work with LG and Hyundai. We don't have folks. We can't learn how to make a battery. I don't know about that, Chief. I don't know about that. And you know, one of the first things I thought about, because if you've heard the way that these deals work, you have these foreign corporations that would announce through these deals, we're investing several billion dollars in the United States and to build certain things in the United States of America. Did that foreign investment also include them importing illegal aliens to work in? Like, the whole idea of the foreign investment is so that you have Americans who are employed. Am I wrong? Am I missing that? Like, all of these trade deals that are being worked out, when you have, this foreign nation has committed to $800 billion in investments over the next 2 years. We're going to build a manufacturing facility in Ellabelle, Georgia. Do you think that that also included, and by the way, that factory in Ellabelle, Georgia, will be staffed by 475 illegal aliens? I'm just, y'all know me, equal opportunity truth teller. Is it me or does it sound like President Trump kind of hit a new tune a little bit in saying that, well, we don't have people who can do the jobs. We need to have them to come over and they need to train us in how to do it. Now, I do agree on one point. Having had manufacturing outsourced for so long, it can have, and not can, it does have a deleterious impact on having immediately readied staff. But shouldn't there be some consideration if you're going to build your factories here that we need to make sure we make a way to make sure that you don't have people working in your factories that are breaking our immigration laws? I mean, is that too much to ask? I'm just tired of it, man. Like, so for the longest, people had things saying, like, oh, the American workers won't do this job. Speak for yourself. That's a lie. I know scores of people that will do all of the jobs that you're saying they won't do because they used to do them. It's not like we had these jobs that weren't being done before. We had mass influx of illegal immigrants. No, the jobs were being done before. Now you have this thing that's happening with a combination of illegal immigration and greed in some instances that are resulting in this. So listen. I know people, some may be upset with me. There's some people that are all Trump all the time. I'm saying, President Trump, you seem to have hit a different tune on this point. And if we're going to have an America first, and I'm not, y'all know this. I'm not offering this as a condemnation, but somebody has to be willing to say, hey, wait, President Trump, are you serious? Are you saying that we don't have Americans who could do this work? How long do you think it'll take to train Americans to make batteries? How long do you think that will take? And I'm not saying this as if I have a predetermined conclusion or answer to that question, but that should be a part of the calculus. Hey, yo, Honda, if you're gonna make batteries here in America, you can't break our laws. How about that? What do you think is going to happen at that factory? That they're going to shut down now that these 475 illegal immigrants are getting chartered back to South Korea? No, they're going to be employed with other people. We either are going to enforce our immigration laws or we're not. We're either going to re-enfranchise the American worker and the American middle class or we're not. This whole notion, oh, we got to have this and we got to have that. And I agree to a degree. But why can't we train our folks? It's another one of those, man, I got all kind of stuff. I'm not going to get to all of the stuff today. I know it. I'm going to cover this story because I want to hit this one. This is, and you think these kind of things are always in one sector or another sector, but it happens across the board. So in the state of Arizona, you have a state senator, Annalise Ortiz, who uses her social media accounts, or who has used her social media accounts, to post alerts in her state as where ICE raids will take place. Well, Another state senator, Jake Hoffman, has filed an ethics complaint against Senator Ortiz, and saying that you are conducting yourself in a manner that is not only reckless, but is dangerous. Because if you, as a result of your position as a state legislator, learn about ICE activities, and then you disclose prospective ICE activities, you are placing our law enforcement officers in harm's way. This is something that at a minimum should cause you to lose your position in the state legislature. That is what Senator Hoffman has asserted. Listen to and watch this clip. It's clip number two. Clip two.
An ethics complaint has been filed against State Senator Annalise Ortiz over her social media warnings about immigration enforcement. The complaint was filed by Republican Senator Jake Hoffman. He calls for the Democrats' expulsion. Ortiz has been under fire for posting an alert about ICE activity in the Phoenix area. Republicans claim that she violated federal law, while Ortiz maintains she was informing the community. The complaint has been sent to the U.S. Attorney's Office for review.
Guys, listen, this is not hard. If you interfere with a federal law enforcement operation, you can play stupid games, but you're going to win stupid prizes. You're going to find yourself with that Wisconsin judge loaded up in cuffs yourself.
Why are you crying?
This is not your country. Why are you crying? You're going to find yourself in a bad way. They're like, yeah, we're doing this for our people. Like, what are you talking about? If you get on social media, you know, you posting these videos, you're going to find yourself getting arrested yourself. Okay? And she attempted to assert, and these people act like they don't understand any differences. Senator Ortiz said that her activity is protected by the First Amendment. She is doing nothing illegal, and it's similar to an app alerting drivers to a police presence on a highway. Ma'am, you are dead wrong, and I'll tell you why. When you have police officers that have, for example, checkpoints on streets, they are not conducting an existing law enforcement investigation. When you have police officers patrolling the streets and patrolling the highways, setting up checkpoints, they are establishing a non-subjective place to evaluate people who have already been licensed, presumably, to drive. Everybody who's driving a vehicle are presumed to be licensed. A license is an agreement between the driver and the state that the driver will comply with the laws. That's not an ongoing warranted investigation. An ICE raid, for example, an ICE investigation is usually the product of a previous accumulation of evidence that amounts to the standard of reasonable suspicion, if not probable cause. Oftentimes, the ICE raids are exercising arrest and detention warrants for people who have been notified that they're already in the country illegally. These are not the same thing. And so to have a state legislator whose job is, last time I read checks notes, oh yeah, legislators make laws. They make laws. Notifying people publicly of a prospective ICE warranted investigation, you are intervening and interfering with a lawful exercise of duty, which in itself can be felonious. So you keep playing these games if you want. And this is why you saw the mayor of Los Angeles back down, Karen Bass, because she was saying these other things, and good old Tom Holman gave her a little visit and said, ma'am, I just want to let you know, this is where the line is. You cross this line, you will be in cuffs. And what did Karen Bass do? You got it, big man. You got it. She's no longer warning people about ICE raids. Because Tom Homer said, I know things about these people here that you don't even know. You haven't seen their records. You don't know the warrants that we have. You don't know any of these things. So this is just, man, we're living in a silly, silly, silly time. A silly time. And at a minimum, this senator her position in the state legislature should be called into question at a minimum. And if she presses forward, depending on what she does thereafter, she might very well find herself with her liberty in jeopardy. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Hamilton Corner. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. And we'll continue weighing in on the issues and navigating the foolishness du jour. Most importantly, delving into God's word. And I pray that we add value to your lives. Y'all have a great evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.